Hi, this is Patrick Johnson. I am really looking forward to the show today, but first, a word from our attorneys.
The information provided in this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we don't guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but are limited to the dissemination of general information and may not be suitable for all members of the listening audience. Listening to this program should not be considered an engagement with SRS Capital Advisors, Inc. or Wealth Partner. Wealth Partner is a division of SRS Capital Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor whose principal office is located in Colorado. Patrick Johnson is an investment advisor representative of SRS Capital Advisors. Being a registered investment advisor or describing ourselves as being registered does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, where we believe financial wealth is one part of overall well-being. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. Now, here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
Welcome to another episode of Healthy, Wealthy, Wise. This is Patrick Johnson, and I'm excited to be here again on a Saturday morning with Doug Sparks. And Doug and I were getting into a really interesting conversation. It felt like it could go for a full half day easily. but we've got a short form radio show here, so we're trying to glean wisdom from Doug. And in the last show last week, you might remember, or if you've downloaded it and listened to it recently, we qualified what postmodernism is, how it came about through best of intentions, but basically a group of philosophers determining that what were thought to be the solutions to man's biggest questions were proving themselves to be, they had to be incorrect because there was war and Great Depression and hardship around all countries. Mm. And so some new school of thought came in around the 1940s, and that school of thought has been labeled postmodernism, postmodern relativism. It's basically an attack, the way that Doug frames it, is it's almost an attack on the progressive philosophies that were in place from the late 1800s until the early 1940s when we saw those philosophies not working out. So for a case in point, Marxism and other philosophies that were, a real effort was made to instill them, install those philosophies. And so we find ourselves now in a postmodern era, and that's best qualified as truth is relative, and truth in any segment of society. Was it Liechtenstein you were talking about last time? Liechtenstein, he submitted that we need to evaluate truth in all of the various strata of society, and that we needed to deconstruct our understanding of what truth was. And then we got interrupted just on a, as a function of time. And what I'd like to do today with that brief 2-minute summary of our conversation is, one, have you correct me anywhere that I was really meaningfully wrong, but then two, lean into how we're seeing postmodernism play out, and where you could just use a few examples of today in our culture. And then maybe on the other side of the break, how can we be better elders? I would venture to say that most of the people listening to this show are, you know, 40 plus, and we have children, and we are interested in their well-being over the long term. And how can we be stewards of their philosophical bents, which ultimately inform their lives? So with all of that primer in place, you take it and run with it.
Sure. Yeah, let me just circle back on one thing too, the Frankfurt School that we talked about, where the critical theory came out of. Something interesting happened, and it was very impactful. It was almost like a vagary of life, but it turned out to be really eye-opening for these guys because, as I mentioned, this was a group of Jewish intellectuals that got together in Germany, in Frankfurt, in the early 20s, 1923 or so. Now, they stayed in Frankfurt more or less. One guy was actually a Marxist professor at the University of Vienna. But of course, by the early 1930s, with Hitler coming on the scene, being a Jew in Germany was not a good idea. So they basically, all of them packed up and moved to the States. And they ended up in California. They were at Columbia University for a little while. But then who knows why they ended up, now if they had packed up and then moved on from New York to like Minnesota or someplace like that, maybe the world would be a different place, yeah. But they went to Southern California, right?
Okay.
Now you gotta understand, these guys were old school European intellectuals where life is somber, it's serious. You know, you're there's no frivolity. There's no, you know, you just take it really, really to the depth of the core of your being. And there's nothing other than that. I mean, this is who they're. So they end up in Southern California.
Wow.
Where they're driving around in convertibles, their shirts are off, you know, they're partying. They got Muscle Beach, you lay it on the sand, got movies. And these guys are appalled, utterly appalled. And they're thinking, these guys are idiots. These people are idiots because they are giving themselves. Here you've got the bourgeois, you've got the big money people up here, and they're throwing out little peanuts to these guys, and they're gobbling up frivolity on the beaches and having a good time. And all along, these guys are making all the money, and these guys are doing all the work. And they end up, you know what they call them? Deplorables.
Really?
They were deplorable. Those idiots that would sacrifice their freedom, their lives, their work value, all these kind of stuff. They're giving all that up so that these, you know, fat cats can stay rich and wealthy and basically take advantage of them. So then, and at the end of the war, they went back to Europe, and they doubled down. They thought America was the biggest group of idiots in the world. Because they willingly gave themselves to a capitalistic system that did nothing but take advantage of them. So that was their take, okay? So that also plays into this whole idea of what's coming next. So as I mentioned earlier, no philosopher is the one who implements it. So in this case, the postmodern philosopher guys, they didn't implement anything, they just come up with the ideas. Again, what I would call the neo-progressives. Remember, the progressives tried doing this again 120 years ago. Now you got another group of neo-progressives. And we'd have to say, kind of radical progressives, because as we mentioned earlier, we're all progressive. We all want the world to be a better place. Nobody wants more suffering and more inequality and more of this. Nobody wants that. So the question is, how do you do it and what does it look like? Well, the neo-progressives have come along that are fairly radicalized. And once again, they make up, if you look at the neo-progressives just in terms of who that group is, and again, it's not conspiratorial, but it is collaborative. They all have similar values and similar ideas, and they want the world to be a better place, and they think this is how it should be. And it happens that most of them are quite intellectual. They're very smart, very powerful, very wealthy, and they control almost all of the social media platforms. So it's the founders of Google, it's the founders of YouTube, it's the founders of Facebook and Instagram, it's the founders of Apple, it's the founders. All these guys are all progressives. And then, of course, you've got the hedge fund managers, you've got all on and on and on. I just did a rough count of about maybe a dozen of them. They've got over $1 trillion in value that they can and will and are using to push their agenda. And of course, the whipping boy is George Soros. Okay, everybody likes to beat up on George, and maybe rightfully so. I don't know. I don't know the guy. I'd never heard of him, quite honestly. I thought at one point maybe he was the owner of the San Diego Padres. That's about all I knew. I didn't know anything about him at all until one day. I was listening to the television, and they were going, the fact checker says, you know, this was right or that was wrong. The fact checker. So I go, well, who's the fact checker anyway? So I just Googled, who's the fact checking? Well, there's a group called PolitioFact out of the University of Southern Florida. They have a northern branch in Jacksonville. They have a media department, and it is heavily funded by the Open Society Foundation, which is George Soros.
Oh, interesting. Yep.
And it's also Google and all these other guys all support it. So it's like the fox watching over the chicken coop. You know, is this fact correct? Let's ask the check fan. These are boys. You know, these are guys down here. Right. So you're not getting a necessarily unbiased answer. You're getting an answer that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so you not only have the social media group, you have the regular published media. Almost every one of the mainline media guys are all progressives, and so you've got this massive power structure that are all coalescing around the progressive ideas. And what they have chosen to do is to take postmodern philosophy and implement it.
Okay.
So that's where the two come together. They coalesce at the point of the postmodern guys had the philosophy, the progressive guys didn't have the philosophy, but they had the power to move things, and they married together. And by the way, George Soros wanted to be a philosopher. He's a really bright guy. Mm-hmm. And again, he was born in Budapest in Hungary. His family was Jewish. And of course, during that period, he was born in 1930. So they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But they stayed in Hungary and they changed their identity from Jewish to Christian, and somehow miraculously they were never caught. But he grew up always wanting to be a philosopher. Mm. And he went to the university. He went to London School of Economics, and there he met a guy named Karl Popper. Well, Karl Popper was a philosopher. And his whole thing was on the open society, where the best society is one that doesn't have any governance, really, no rules as such. You tear everything down and you let people sort of negotiate between them one-on-one as to what the right thing to do is.
Pause. This is interesting because Soros, born at the wrong place, wrong time, saw firsthand the progressive philosophy not working out and felt that, probably experienced deep trauma.
Yeah,
in that season.
Oh, absolutely, no question.
So wants to change this. So what he's doing, you know, the fox watching the chicken coop, so to speak. But he is really missional about this, trying to implement postmodernism. So, and I really want to leave this show as like we don't really have a strong opinion. We're just kind of delivering. I know that we probably each do have strong opinion about the nature of man and if whether postmodernism is right or wrong or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But I want to. I think this is fun to deliver the facts. And then I want to jump into, after the break, a few examples. So I think we get the general idea of how this thing has evolved, how it is being implemented and executed. Mm-hmm. Maybe after the break, we take two examples of primary obvious implementation of postmodernism. And then I think if listeners are like me, and I'm a reasonable guy that's kind of in the middle on a lot of issues, political and religious and otherwise, I think that there's cause for concern and desire to do something good about this, specifically how we parent and grandparent. And so I want to shift into how we speak to the next generation.
Absolutely.
So we will be back right after the break with more fascinating conversation with Doug Sparks.
Hi, this is Patrick Johnson, and I want to take 1 minute here at the break for a personal note and a request. I've been having a lot of fun creating the show for you each week, and it's a pleasure to interview interesting guests about important topics and provide content which I hope will enhance listeners' overall well-being. And as you might imagine, I'm very intentional about how I spend my life energy, and I spend a lot of time working on this show for you. And I'm also very intentional about how I spend my hard-earned money, and I pay a hearty sum for the airwaves each Saturday morning. This is both energy and time, which I have delighted in investing thus far. But here's the thing. We're around 20 shows in right now, and I have no sense for the show's audience. It is apparently impossible to accurately track listeners. So I simply don't know whether this is a good use of my energy or finances. And as a committed steward of both, this bothers me. So the Healthy, Wealthy, Wise show is one of many activities Wealth Partner promotes in an effort to help make the world a better place, and I just need to determine if this effort should be prioritized over the others. So if you're willing, I'm simply asking that you help me gain a bit of clarity around all of this. Please visit the Wealth Partner website and just say hi. Let me know if you're enjoying the show and perhaps even submit any topics you'd like to hear conversation about. Our website is wealthpartner.com. That's WELLTH partner.com. So that's it. Thank you for listening, and now back to the show.
Welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, Wise on KRDO News Radio. Here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
All right, well, welcome back. And we are going to continue the conversation with Doug Sparks about postmodernism and how it's impacting our culture. And I think listeners should have a good sense for the history, how it's evolved and how it's being implemented now, and the powers that be who are implementing this philosophy, which ultimately can be distilled down to truth is relative. There is no absolute truth in any strata of society. And I wanted to ask Doug a couple of, or his opinion on where we see this most. And I submitted, is it going to be race or is it going to be gender? And he said, well, yeah, those are the obvious ones, but really where it started was political correctness. And that jumped out at me because that was all the rage when I was getting out of college in the early mid 90s. And we were talking about that. So take it from there, just if you can, for 5-6 minutes, sure. Maybe just through that arc to illustrate what it's doing in our culture. We'll leave it to the listeners to determine whether they like it or not. And then we'll talk about how younger people can be relating
right
to the culture and yeah. end on a high note. So that's yeah. our arc for the rest of the show.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, Patrick. No, the interesting thing is, again, getting back to George Soros, I don't want to demonize the guy. I don't know him, so I can't, sure. implied any motivation to him other than he's really bright and he's a philosopher. So he understands philosophically. He's kind of both worlds. So usually philosophers don't implement, implementers don't. He's both.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's the philosopher and he's the implementer. So he's a powerful guy just because of his intellect. And oh, by the way, he's worth billions of dollars. You know, since 1979, George Soros himself, and this is just under the Open Society Foundation, has given $32 billion.
Oh, that's a big number.
Towards pushing his agenda. Now, you can buy a lot of politicians and a lot of judges and a lot for $32 billion. So he's no small player. And if he is the lightning rod, then maybe deservedly so, maybe not in a negative sense, that's just the reality. Now, so I think he's very systematic. He's very organized in how he wants to bring this on. And he was the one early on who pushed the whole political correctness agenda. But you have to understand, I'm not particularly bright, but I am curious. So one time I Googled, where did political correctness come from? Well, guess who started it? Lenin in Russia. Wow. He borrowed from other philosophers, and he knew that in order to create an idea or an ideology that the people would embrace, you first had to get them not thinking and not being able to say things in any way they wanted to. You could only use certain terminology to express yourself. So, and when you do that, then you slowly close down the kind of free thinking and you, as you close that down, the ideology can take over. Mm. And so you get people that have restricted speech, and then you implement upon them a bigger ideology, and they don't have the words to come back and say, and then pretty soon you can't say anything because it just starts closing down. So we started out, again, it all starts as a good thing. Hey, we don't want to be offensive, right? We don't want to offend people. So in order to not be offensive, here's what you can and cannot say. Now that started, it really came in a big way in around 2000, late 90s. And now it's come to the point where if you say the wrong thing, you are immediately canceled, the whole cancel society, right? Cancel culture. If you don't say exactly as that you're prescribed to say, then you get canceled. Now, that was strategic. That wasn't by accident. That was implemented first. Now comes the ideology. And you were saying, well, how does it impact our culture today? Well, political correctness was the first step. Now they're bringing in that anything that's binary has got to be controlled.
So, yeah, that's patience. That's a multiple decade long implementation.
Yep.
We don't want to offend. We don't want to upset other people in the political correctness thing. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Please keep going. Sorry to interrupt.
So no, not at all. But now we're starting to see things as cascading down us in a cultural way. So let's talk about sexuality. Okay. Sex is a biological factor. You're either XY or XX. With maybe like 0.2% or hermaphrodites when they're born, they're kind of one way or the other. But that's like it's a half of 1%. By and large, it's XX, XY, you're a male, you're female. Now, again, postmodernists don't believe in science and biology necessarily because that's a social construct and it's a meta-narrative, both. So what you do, and it's oftentimes a semantics game. So you notice they don't come after male and female, the binaries, as such. What they do is they switch it over, and now it becomes a gender issue, not a sex issue. Because the science is too, that's too hard to, so now you come in and you couch it all in gender terminology. And so now it's gender identity, gender identity. So, and gender is identified or defined as, what is the social expectation of male and females? So that's kind of the gender issue. So the way that you implement that is that you can identify as anything you think you are, because there's no objective truth. There's no particular rationality. It's simply how you feel, how you see yourself. The only reality is you. Okay, that's the other part of postmodernism. There's nothing out there but you, basically, and you are the end all of morality, of truth, of rationality. Anything that you do is yours. Uh-huh. Now, it can be interpreted. Remember Wittgenstein. It can be interpreted an infinite number of ways. So,
how you show up in the world, it would be interpreted by all the other people. Therefore, there's no one absolute.
Okay. Now, what the idea in back of it is if you have sexual harassment, if you have sexual identity subjugation, then do away with sex. Solve the problem. Without sex, there's no sexual issues. There's no rape even. There's no anything. It's just whatever sexual identity you want to take it on. That's it. And nobody can say anything about it. Now, the other thing, of course, is race, same thing. Now, the critical race theory was developed by a guy named Derrick Bell, who is a professor at Harvard, law professor. And he's the one that kind of put, and people say, well, is postmodernism Marxist? It's not, technically. But there's flavors of Marxism that come into it, not because of the postmodern guys, it was because of the progressive guys. They're the ones that are bringing it in. So Derrick Bell, for example, is a professor at Harvard, and I think he was the first black tenured professor, at least in the School of Law in Harvard. He might be in the first one at Harvard. Anyway, he's a very bright guy, really sharp. But he's the one that said, you know what? All of race issues are based on white guys who imposed slavery on the blacks. And the consequence of that has been that you now have racism. And so in order to correct that, you have to do away with the idea of race altogether. So now it's, again, what color are you? I could be green, pink, yellow. I could be any infinite number of colors that I think I am. So it doesn't matter what the reality is, because there's no objective reality. The only reality that is in the cosmos is what I feel and think. That's the only reality that there is. And so you go through law and order. Well, how do you get injustice out of the way? Well, do away with law and order, right? If you do away with laws, then nobody can break the law. Pretty simple answer. Mm-hmm. So what do? Well, you buy politicians, you buy judges, you buy DAs who won't impose the law to anybody. So that's what we're seeing happening in our culture today. And of course, going against capitalism. That's the next big probably attack will be against the capitalistic meta-narrative itself and the hierarchies that support it. And I have to say, unabated capitalism is not a good thing. We've gotten way out of control on a lot of this. And there's some good points to be made that there needs to be some balance in there. I don't know what it is, but there needs to be some balance. So there's no question about unabated capitalism is not necessarily a good thing. So what it comes down to in our culture then, I think today, Patrick, is we're just beginning to see the onslaught of this. This is just the beginning of the tsunami. It's not the end. Mm-hmm. It's coming. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves and at least, to come to some kind of understanding for ourselves is, what do you do? This is uncharted water. I mean, I wish I could say, okay, here's five things and this is this, but we're entering into uncharted waters. And in the midst of this, entering into this chaos, shall we say, for lack of a better word, this chaotic movement where we're losing our ability to see markers, see things that help us stay in orientation, proper orientation, those are being erased. So then what do we do? How do we apply this? How do we live in a postmodern world?
Yeah, and that's where we're going to have to leave the show because we're out of time and we were trying to get to a point where we could help offer listeners tools that would help them chart. But I think this is actually a good place to stop because now we have the context. We have the understanding. I think we've reserved judgment on whether this is right or wrong. Yep. I would say there are a lot of people that take the quantum physics bent, you know, all is energy and you do create your own reality. And they would say, well, yeah, you know, that is true. And so I think that it's interesting for the listener to form their own opinion around this. Doug submits in an upcoming podcast series. Is it podcast that you're doing for Grand
Order? Yeah. Yes.
So tell us about how they can hear more if they're inclined. Let's just end the show there.
Part of what we're trying to do is I'm going to probably in about a few months or so, we'll be online YouTube with a series of podcasts called it's called Postmodernism, How to Orient Yourself in the Postmodern World. It's called A Strategy for Living.
Okay.
Strategy for Living, subtitled How to Orient Yourself in the Postmodern World.
Great. Well, we can all be looking for that on YouTube. I think it'll be fascinating. You'll really enjoy Doug's thoughtfulness. If you've enjoyed these shows, I'm sure it's going to all translate well to that YouTube video. And there's probably more shows to come with you, Doug. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you.
And chatting and for educating us all.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Enjoyed it.
Listeners are encouraged to consult a professional advisor before implementing any of the strategies presented. The material in this program is for education purposes and is not intended to provide investment, tax, legal, health, or medical advice. Past performance does not guarantee future success. Information in this program is not an offer to buy or sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy or sell the investments, investment strategies, securities, or well-being services mentioned herein. All expressions of opinion reflect the judgment of the speakers as of the date of the radio show and are subject to change and are not statements of material fact. Opinions are based on knowledge and experience, but may not include all of the supporting facts to verify these opinions. The advisor may not transact business in states where it is not appropriately registered, excluded, or exempted from registration. Individualized responses to persons that involve either the effecting of transaction in securities or the rendering of personalized investment advice for compensation will not be made without registration or exemption.